Yeah.
Do you think you guys can do another song?
Yeah,
we can do another song.
We could. Yeah. Gordon, you got another one?
Yeah, we'll do a Big Bill. We'll do a Big Bill tune.
All right.
In the key of C.
Mm-hmm.
I got bricks in my pillow, baby, and my head can't rest no more. I got bricks in my pillow, baby, and my head can't rest no more. I got a spider on my wall and a black snake on my floor. I got mud in my water and it's drifting in my tea. Mud in my water, baby, and it's drifting in my tea. I got bugs in my bed and they keep on biting me. Grounds in my coffee, boll weevils in my meal. Coffee, baby. Woo! Boll weevils in my meal. Tacks out in my shoe. They jamming in my heel. Somebody grab one. Big patches on my pants. I got holes in my pockets, baby. Great big patches on my pants. I'm way behind in my house rent, yet they want it in advance. I see that train a-coming, and I hear that whistle blow. I see that train a-coming, ooh, and I hear that whistle blow. I feel like leaving, but I got nowhere to go.
beat the bell.
What just happened there?
My phone went off right at the perfect time.
Perfect.
The neighbors are complaining. Yeah, what's going on over there? Oh, God. I don't know. I like that line. I feel like leaving, but I got no place to go.
That guy's got trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the bed bugs and the weevils, personally. I'm curious. Did you kind of grow up listening to a lot of the same stuff for artists?
I'll bet we did, because when you commented on me just meeting Gordon and us sitting down and playing a tune like we just played, that's kind of style specific, Big Bill thing, or the other Big Bill thing.
Right.
It isn't because we worked it out. It's because we appreciate and spent
that sounded really good, actually.
Listening to the same music. So it's kind of like learning another dialect, I guess, because that's what really makes it fun. At first, when I started playing blues, everything was just kind of like a 12 bar. And the more I tried to dive into the different personalities and the artists and the styles, I realized the things Big Bill Brunzi did that other people didn't do so much. Little earmarks of his style, things Muddy Waters did.
You know, one thing I love about Big Bill is the way he would almost not do turnarounds. He would stay on the one instead of going to the five. He'd just sit on the one.
Yeah.
You know, he instead of resolving the turnaround to the five, he would just hang on the one. And I love that, because it just it's free. It's liberating in a way, because it allows the players to just vamp and it's not dragging the listener back to the start all the time. You know, it's just not the cycle just doesn't seem like it just keeps looping around. It seems a little more infinite.
I actually grew up listening to this music sort of indirectly, because I was listening to the Allman Brothers and John Mayall and you know, Eric Clapton, and you know, like a lot of, you know, young Americans were doing, and listening to British rock and roll. I didn't realize I was listening to this music till much later. I really liked what I was listening to.
Right.
I thought in my naivete that those musicians I was listening to had created that music, that the Allman Brothers had written those tunes, and you know,
but well, I think we all did too. I mean, yeah. I'm the same boat as that. You know, it took reading the album jacket, and you saw Reverend Gary Davis or something like that, and the curiosity was piqued, and you decided to go dig up who this guy. We found out who this guy was, and that opened the door. That's how I.
Yeah.
The door was open for me also.
Led Zeppelin, too, that first record. I listened to that a lot, and I learned those riffs on guitar. I said, wow, basically I'm learning Willie Dixon vocabulary.
Uh-huh.
And my first exposure to the roots end of that was Papa John Kolstad down in the Twin Cities.
Uh-huh.
I met him in around 1978, actually, and started playing with him. And he was the guy that turned me on to Leroy Carr and Scrapper Blackwell, and he was playing that stuff. But then I kind of left that and went off on my jazz violin thing, Stefan Grappelli and Django Reinhardt, Stuff Smith. And it wasn't until I met Mike that I became, you know, more interested. And Mike was a real student of that kind of music. And I learned a lot from Mike about this kind of music. So that was my entry as a violin player into this.
Now, Mike, since you live in Wyoming, has that influenced your exposure to stuff? Like, I get the feeling like there might be like a more of a country western vibe out there that maybe affects the musical stylings of what you hear.
That music is out there, but I think of myself as just based in Wyoming. And when I go to work, I'm usually, you know, traveling to, you know, maybe traveling to the Midwest, traveling overseas, going to the East Coast or the West Coast. So I'm not really playing much locally, but there is, you know, there's a lot of cowboy music being played out there, people playing music on the guest ranches. But I live near Jackson Hole, and there's a great jazz community there, so once in a while I'll go over and play there, but I'm not too involved in any sort of regional music. I just like to be there for the lifestyle, and then when I've got to go to work, I'm traveling. Rather than being in a place like, you know, maybe like the Twin Cities or Chicago or Nashville, where you're right in the middle of the music, and maybe you're in a place where, you know, for me in Nashville, we knew that we weren't going to be there forever, and we really liked the mountains and the wide open spaces and the solitude. So once I started playing by myself, I know I'm going on too long about this, but, you know, once we figured maybe we can live wherever we want and still have the music happen somehow. So out in Wyoming, I've got a little guitar school called Wind River Guitar, where people come from all over the place and all over the world to spend a few days in kind of a intensive immersion guitar experience. So that's one of the things I do in Wyoming.
Fantastic. Yeah. Is that kind of why you moved up here, Gordon? Is it kind of like the escape from like the center of music and...
No.
Okay. I don't know.
No, that's a good question, but no, I'd have to say no. I moved up here because it was really cheap to live up here. That's really why I moved here. I got to tell you, you know. And I knew that I really didn't want to be a musician to make a living playing music. I learned that early on. I just wasn't cut out for it. I hate booking gigs. I just, there's things about playing music that I just don't like at all. And so I knew that I could come up here and, you know, you can play music anywhere. You don't need to be paid to play. And so I just moved up here because it was cheap, and I knew I could work up here, and I loved it up here. You know, I just like to be away, you know, so that's what brought me here.
Fantastic. Well, we've got Mike Dowling, Gordon Thorne, and Randy Sabine here, and you can catch them later tonight at the Bluefin Grill down in the restaurant, then tomorrow for the 5th annual Fingerstyle Masters weekend, and $15 admission fee for the WTIP Transmitter Replacement Fund. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Can Thanks we hear, for having us.
Yeah, this has been just fantastic.
Really appreciate it.
Can we hear one more song to kind of...
We can play our way out of here.
Play our way out.
I can't play my way out of a paper bag.
We'd like to leave, but we got no place to go.
We're going to rename the scenic route the paper bag.